Well, I can't tell you what an absolute privilege it has been. This is the third Shabbat in a row that we've had the privilege of fellowshipping and worshiping with you all, and knowing that there are a lot of you all coming and going, but just have been, it's been a delight, and to get to know some of you and to be so well received. Stan and Molly are very good friends of ours and lifelong friends. In fact, I'll speak more about that in a moment. But they left Sunday to go to arrive for the birth of their third grandchild in Texas. So also consider it a privilege to be able to stand before you and to share the word of the Lord on my heart. I am greatly encouraged because I feel like even just this morning, the beginning with the worship through the sharing of the word and just all of what has taken place so far is, I think, I'm hoping you will see God weaving a tapestry of His doing as only He can do. First, I want to point out my lovely wife, Karen. In fact, you can stand, Karen. my wife of 36 years. We just celebrated our 36th wedding anniversary. We have four children, three boys, one girl. The oldest two, the oldest son and our daughter, are married. They've given us three gorgeous granddaughters. And I should have put some pictures on the overhead there, but yeah. And they all live within a couple of hours of where we are in Oregon, so we get to see them quite often. Except can't forget our middle son Joshua, who is now in South Korea. He is teaching English there. He's been there about 8 or 9 months, and he's up for another year. So he loves it, and we had the privilege of getting to visit him recently. So, but we have, and the reason we're here in Israel is that we're on a sabbatical. 3 week, it's, someone said, that's not long enough, and we would agree, but we're grateful for those 3 weeks. We've spent the last 2 weeks in Jerusalem here, and we leave. In fact, this afternoon, we're heading up to Tiberias for the remaining week, and then we have to go home. We live and pastor a church in a place called Philomath, Oregon. Will knew where Philomath was, which was better when I first heard about Philomath. I lived in Oregon all my life and never heard of the town. But Will went to Oregon State University. Do I need more? Oh, okay. And but the university, that Oregon State University, is right there. And go Beavers. But so like I said, we've been there 25 years, and we thought, in fact, it was Molly that suggested that we come to Israel for a sabbatical about a year ago, and so we thought that seemed good to us and to the Lord, so we came. But I wanted to say one other thing before I jump into the word here. Liz had asked early on, you know, highlight, and I think the highlight for us was last Sunday. We, just before Stan and Molly left, we got to go up on the temple steps there, on the southern steps, and have communion together, which was by itself a highlight. That would have been enough, except that when we concluded, we noticed that there was a gathering that they'd set up some mics and a keyboard, and it looked like maybe there was going to be a worship service. And so we just kind of asked a little bit, and turns out Stephen Curtis Chapman was performing a little impromptu concert there. And so we got to kind of crash the party a bit, as you might say, and enjoyed that. And that was just so very fitting because, of course, last Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, perhaps it seems more very likely that Peter preached Pentecost sermon, the message on those very steps, and the 3,000 plus were saved. So it was just very, very cool to kind of drink all of that in and to feel a part of that and to have Stephen Curtis Chapman kind of serenade us. And so, but Pastor Chuck asked that I would share my testimony and share the word of the Lord with you this morning. So I'll start by just giving a little background. In fact, let me start by reading a familiar portion of Scripture, but again, just the word that the Lord just continues to press in my heart. In fact, for as long as I can remember, reading out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the last three verses there. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, even with ahava close by, we still are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So before I ask upon what are your eyes fixed, or what is your life's focus, say this word with me, would you? Perspective. Perspective. I would pray, dear God, in Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, give your people your perspective. You receive that? As I mentioned, this section of Scripture has challenged me, quite frankly, as it should, all my life. I have heard the Lord say many times, David, I guess my name is actually David. Is that right? David? David? I didn't know that and after all these years. So how I heard him say it was, David, if not careful, you will fix your eyes on the wrong things, on non-essentials, on troubles or challenges or difficulties, or on possessions or abilities or the lack thereof, things that are easily seen. And in so doing, just like we heard 10 of the 12 spies, we'll miss the essential and not see what God, and I'm personalizing this, and because that's my tendency to do that, and not see what God is trying to show me. In fact, I can remember hearing this as well. Faith, just not audibly, but just in my heart. Faith, David, not sight. And how many times we need to hear that word over and over again. I was raised in the church, in Foursquare Church, actually. In fact, third generation Foursquare. my mom was on staff at the church that I was raised in. She was not on staff as a church organist. She just did that. Was Christian education director, but raised by godly parents. And in fact, we'll celebrate their 60th wedding anniversary next week, which is. But I just have all my life felt so very grateful for a godly heritage. And I was saved. And I still remember, what a great song, I still remember the day that just God revealed His love for me. And just another little side note I mentioned about Stan. Stan Dolan, he was. We went to the same church together. We're from the same hometown there in Grants Pass, south of Philomath, a couple hours. But when I graduated from high school, I was headed to an institute close by to pursue electrical engineering. And that was, my heart was set on it. And I remember that summer, God began to tinker with my heart in a way that I hadn't really experienced before. But recognizing that God was nudging me to change course, to pursue Bible college. And I was okay with Bible college. It wasn't that was the problem. The problem was I equated Bible college with preaching. And that was not going to be me. For me to get in front of people and to say anything, no way. And so I made a deal with God, at least so I thought. It wasn't until later that I discovered God really doesn't get much into deals, unless it's His deal. I decided that I had seen a lot of people become assistant pastors, or the idea of church administration. I was youth pastoring, and so... So that's what I thought, okay, I'll follow you, Lord. And fortunately, I did. Fortunately, God was patient with me. Fortunately, I met my wife at Bible college. In fact, Molly and her identical twin sister, Dolly, were in our wedding. So that gives you an idea of just the ties between Stan and Molly. And us, but we were youth pastors for about 10 years, involved in church administration as well. And God was faithful, and then, as you would expect, God began to stir our hearts once again. In fact, begin to realize that God's giving that word again about. The need to walk by faith and not by sight, and it was really a rebuke. Are you going to continue to move in just the areas of your comfort zone? Are you going to depend upon your own abilities and your own strengths, or do you want to discover what possibilities of moving in a direction that would depend upon God's, upon the Spirit of God. In fact, I heard it was like, would you let me have opportunity to turn water into wine? You know, would you consider offering your sack lunch to feed the multitudes? Oh, that's great.
There you go.
Let me take a little sip here and maybe go another. Thank you. Now, I mentioned my three granddaughters. I would be amiss if I neglected to talk at least a little bit. My oldest granddaughter is 8 years old. Her name is Kinsey. And one of her favorite, in fact, all three of the granddaughters call me Poppy. I don't know exactly how that came to be, but they call me Poppy, and I absolutely love it each time I hear it. And Kinsey is the one that likes to sit on Poppy's lap. And actually, they all do, but she's the one that just will. And Poppy, can we watch a movie together? And my heart melts, and I'm thinking, this is just a little taste of heaven. And so recently, we watched a film entitled Karate Kid 3. Any of you familiar with that at all? I have the ability to watch movies and hear God speak sometimes. And there is a line in that film where, I don't know if you're familiar, but Miyagi is the master karate trainer, and he's teaching the young apprentice, his protege. And there's a point, and of course the kid is just anxious to, you know, get into the good stuff and, you know, start, you know, let me kick and hit and he's constantly just being given this tedious tasks, and he says, you know, something like, you know, when, you know, what can we, let's get with the good stuff. And Miyagi says to him, in fact, he says, more focus. You need more focus, grasshopper, or more focus. And the young boy says, I am focused. And Miyagi says this line. He says, your focus needs more focus. And, of course, that was a cute line, but I just felt like that just hit right into me. And God used that to just speak, again, the need. It's so easy to get preoccupied with our eyes focused on the visible, on the things that are seen, on the temporary, and miss what God is doing or saying or wanting us to see. Whether he's wanting to do a new thing in my life, my focus, I'm hearing God saying, my focus needs more focus. Whether it's the way I'm treating my wife or not treating my wife. In fact, how many husbands might say that there are, or might agree that their wives could quietly say, your focus needs more focus? So. But even the way I respond to an offense or a conflict or a challenge or a failure or a temptation. So let me ask what I started to ask earlier. Upon what are your eyes fixed this morning? What is your life's focus? Is your walk more by sight or by faith? Let me just read, in fact, a few verses into 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 is Paul, it's like he's reminding, you know, you're walking, we live by faith. We walk by faith, not sight. And the need that just needs to be hammered into our hearts. Because wouldn't we all agree that it's a whole lot easier to walk by sight? And what's with this faith thing, God? And sometimes it is difficult. And you think of Noah walking following God, building an ark just on the basis of what he saw in his spirit. Abraham believing God's promise that he would have a son. And then when, after the many years that God finally gave him the son, that he would willingly obey and offer him as a sacrifice. I mean, I could list every one of the guys and ladies in the scripture, there's just whose heart and whose focus, they were able to see the invisible and to hear the voice of God. been referenced to Moses this morning. You know, think about Moses, who refused to become regarded as Pharaoh's son, next in line for the throne, refused to be called Pharaoh's son, and instead chose to be mistreated with God's people because he saw. In fact, he was. The scripture says he was able to persevere because he saw him who was invisible. But that's the kind of vision that I want, and that we all need. Amen. Besides that, you know, Paul is saying that yes, it is harder to see. I'm adding some words here, but it is harder to walk by faith, but it is essential. The scripture says so very clear. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we discover that faith is the basis of our relationship. It's the kingdom way. It's the way God's not impressed with religion, not impressed with appearance. We are, at least I am sometimes, but God's impressed with faith. And not only that, Paul is saying if our eyes aren't focused on the visible or on the eternal, we will in fact allow the momentary difficulties, challenges, the things that we face to be our focus, and we will miss out. In fact, back to the spies, the 12 spies. You know, that was the entire issue, was that the 10 of the spies, that's all they could see is the visible. That's all they could see. In fact, the scripture says, in our eyes, we seemed like grasshoppers compared to the enemy. Yeah, the land's great, but we couldn't even begin to take it because in our eyes, we seem like grasshoppers. But it was Joshua and Caleb who said that compared to God, in God's eyes, their vision, they could see God, and compared to God, the enemy seemed like grasshoppers. That's the kind of vision that we must see. And as a result, speaking of missing out, they spent, wasn't it 40 years? We talked about the spending the all those years in the wilderness needlessly. That wasn't God's desire. That wasn't God's plan. I want to suggest, in fact, I'm convinced that the world's most deadly disease is blindness. Spiritual blindness. I wish that it was only true of the world and that it's not plaguing the church as well. Remember the church of Ephesus? They were a powerful church doing great things and accomplishing a great deal, but they were blinded to the fact, as John pointed out there in the book of Revelation, blinded to the fact that they had left their first love. That although they were doing great works for God, they were no longer walking with God. And my thinking is, if that could happen to Ephesus, I mean, look at who was their founding pastor. And they had a book that you won't find any greater doctrine. That was their foundation. And yet they found themselves struggling with spiritual blindness. And I'm convinced also that too often we, at least I, like Peter, have in mind the things of man and not the things of God. Too often we are focused on what we see and hear and not what God has promised in His Word over and over and over again. And that's why Paul admonished the Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 1, to set their hearts on things above. It says, Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on this world or on the earth. Stan is a great tour guide. Stan took Karen and I last week down to En-Gedi. And we had been down along the Dead Sea before, but we hadn't gone up the canyon there where it's called David's Pool, up, I don't know, a mile or so up in there, and some of you have been there. And of course, it's beautiful. It's an oasis in the desert. And so it's fun to imagine David being in there. But I began to picture, and as you look around and see some of the caves where David might have been, and of course, we're not really sure that, you know, where and all that. It really didn't make any difference. The fact is that David was hiding and Saul and 3,000 men were after him. And I just was reminded again of how David's insight to have Saul come in the very cave where he was hiding, and knowing that he had been running from Saul and Saul was out to kill him. And here was David's opportunity. Surely this must be God's provision to take off Saul's head and be free from his enemy. And his men, you know, encouraging him, of course. This is obvious. Anybody can see this is God, but not David. Because his eyes were fixed on things above. And he was even pierced after he cut the hem of Saul's garment. Because he knew God had spoken, God had promised that God would provide in God's time. Now that just challenges me to the core, that David could have that kind of insight. I mean, I would be... you know, you're running for your life. This guy is trying to kill me. How about John the Baptist? Hey, look. His disciples were saying, look, more people are following Jesus. They're hanging around him more than you, John. And John's response: he must increase, I must decrease. And of course we know that that's John sacrificed his life. His life was taken as he continued to pursue the invisible. So can you hear the voice of the Lord this morning? So if we're not careful, we can allow our heart's focus to be on the visible, on the temporal. And in so doing, just like the parable of the soils, not sure which one. It must be that one that's the thorns. And the eternal Word of God can easily be choked out if that's our focus. So I want to close, but I want to give, just as I do, give you a few ways to detect if or where, it would be more accurate, where your focus might need some more focus. If you're more focused on an offense than forgiveness, then your focus needs more focus. If you're more focused on flesh and blood rather than principalities, wrestling with flesh and blood, with issues, with offenses or whatever, then principalities and powers, then your focus needs more focus. If your focus is more on the present than on God's promises, your focus more on present circumstances rather than on God's promises, then your focus needs more focus. In fact, if your focus is more on learning, I didn't mention this, but Philomath is a Greek, the town that we pastor, it's a Greek word that means, some of you Greek scholars would know far more than I on these things, but philomath, philo, love, math, learning, the love of learning. And one thing that we've discovered, especially in our time here in Jerusalem, is there's a great love of learning in this place. And that is generally good and can be good. But if your focus is just on learning more so than knowing God, then your focus needs more focus. If your focus is more on God's hand than on His heart, then your focus needs more focus. If your focus is more on being served or on getting, being on the receiving end, rather than serving and giving, then your focus needs more focus. So let me pray with you, if I could. God, my prayer for your people would be that you would increase vision and help us to see the unseen, the invisible, the eternal. God, I pray that you would be quick to speak in our hearts when our focus is slipping and we find ourselves more in tune to what we can see with our natural eyes than what your word reveals to our spiritual eyes. And now I would just like to speak this blessing on each of you, that God would increase your faith, that He would strengthen your faith, strengthen your focus, strengthen your vision, increase your vision and your love for your God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing a song, a little chorus. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. And that's my prayer this morning. I don't know about you, but if there was anyone who needed the message, I do personally, just to refocus my focus. And it spoke to me very pointedly and very directly. And I'm not ashamed to say it, because the Lord wants us all to be drawing closer to Him, and things that I've seen in the natural have blurred my vision. Perhaps you could confess to that as well. But this is a time to rededicate and refocus on those things that you're unseen. Father, we thank you for this message that's spoken to our hearts today. And Lord, we want to see you. We want to see your plan, your direction for us, and not to ever let it go. Keep that vision fresh in our hearts and our minds. Lord, we thank you that we're here together in a spiritual hospital. We're not in an ivory palace with perfect saints, Lord. We're all on the way with you, and we need the master's touch, the surgeon's scalpel to cut and to prune and to take care of those areas that need your attention. We bless you, Lord, that we're here and we can expect you to answer us with a large answer, with a divine answer, divine touch, and divine deliverance. Set us free, Lord. We want to see Jesus. We want our focus redefined on you and your purpose. Lord, for those that are here that have not yet met you, we pray that they'll open their hearts and their lives to you this day and receive you as Lord and Savior. We bless you, Father, for the miracle of the new birth, which is taking place now amongst all those that have open hearts for you. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for this day. May our fellowship continue, and may we encourage one another to press on to higher heights in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Greet one another, bless one another, bless the little people amongst us. Amen.